The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is John Ivey from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the March 2020 issue of Boys Life magazine. And we're going to begin today with Boys Life headliners. Here on page 13. And we have at the top of the page Alex Kobus. His age is 17. His hometown is Crown Point, Indiana. His scout rank is Eagle Scout, Troop 88, Crown Point. Alex made headline for being the recipient of the 2019 International Bowling Campus Youth Committee's annual Zeb Scholarship and being named to the Dexter High School All-American team. Both awards recognize a United States Bowling Congress youth member for bowling achievement, academic achievement, and community service. Next we have Nikolai and Zachary Deferest. Ages Nikolai is 11, Zach is 9. Their hometown is Eugene, Oregon. Their scout ranks, Nikolai is a Weblow Scout and Zachary is a Bear Scout, Pac-20 in Eugene. They both made headlines for competing at the 2019 First Energy All-American Soapbox Derby World Championships in the stock division. To qualify, Nikolai earned enough points to become a regional rally champion and Zachary won the local championship. Next, we have Akash Jamajagni. He's age 11, hometown Johnston, Iowa. His scout rank is Weeblos Scout, Pac-62 in Johnston. He made headlines for placing second in the state at the 2019 Math Kangaroo and USA competition. The competition, which takes place internationally, is open to students in all grades and involves multiple-choice mathematical problem-solving. And finally, we have Jacques Ducote. He's age 14. His hometown is San Diego, California. His scout rank is Life Scout, Troop 271 in San Diego. Jack made headlines as a finalist in his state's 2019 National History Competition and a winner at the local level. This annual project-based contest is open to students in 6th through 12th grades. Jack competed in the Junior Exhibit Middle School category with his project, The Death Zone: Triumph and Tragedy on Everest. This is his second year to compete as a finalist. Moving on to page 14, we have some. Our title is Going Underground, and it has a variety of pictures of young men. Looks like they're walking through caves, and some appear to be a little anxious about it, but they all have their gear on, their ropes. Let's find out. The group of scouts and venturers from Olney, Maryland, can't believe their eyes. After making their way deep underground through a cave called Laurel Caverns, they had just seen a golf ball roll uphill. Was the lack of light playing tricks on their eyes? Does the Earth's magnetic field somehow work differently down below? Can we no longer trust gravity? As it turns out, the group learned it was an optical illusion. Basically, when you can't see the horizon, it's very difficult for your brain to tell if the ground is straight or sloped. It might have looked like the golf ball was rolling uphill, but in reality, the entire cave was slanted, meaning the ball was rolling downhill just like it should. The point was this. Wild caves are exciting, but you have to stay aware of your surroundings. Wear a helmet. Bring extra sources of light. Be prepared to get dirty. With great adventure comes great responsibility, especially when you're more than 40 stories deep, heading underground. Part of Laurel Caverns, located in Farmington, Pennsylvania, is easy to explore. It's well lit and easy to walk through, and any member of the public of any age can show up for a guided tour. The scouts of Troop 264 and the venturers of Crew 264, however, didn't drive all the way from Maryland to be tourists. They made the trip for the spelunking, the exploration of wild caves. As you get deeper underground at Lowell Caverns, things get tricky. Off the path of the guided tour is a maze of dark passages. Below that, there are huge rooms with no installed lighting and no handrails. And even deeper than that is around 1 mile of corridors that goes all the way to the bottom of Chestnut Ridge. That's what this group came for. It's sort of like a mystery trail, 17-year-old venturer Kira Wiesner says. You just never know what you're going to go through next. Are you going to go through the water? Are you going to have to crawl? Actually, they did both. Adventure lies ahead. Wearing quick-dry clothing under rain gear, the group squeezed through some passages so tight that it made them wonder for a second how many persons could get through. Then they slipped past an underground waterfall and walked through an underground room with a 40-foot ceiling before sliding through another crack in the wall, this time with a small stream of water underneath them. The younger scouts, BSA members on the trip, were restricted to the upper cave. It's more difficult than the tourist area, but it's easier to get around than the lower cave, while also still featuring plenty of excitement. There were some parts that were open and some parts that were tight, says Owen Ferris, age 11. I like going into the tight areas because it was a challenge. Light it up. Boy Scouts of America caving rules require underground explorers to carry 3 sources of light. All the better to be prepared in case of dead batteries or bad light bulbs. It's really, really dark down there, and if your headlamp goes out, you don't want to be left in the dark for too long. The emergency training actually came in handy for me. In particular, when my headlamp went out, said 17-year-old venturer Diana Wasson says, since they covered what to do if your light goes out, I didn't panic and was able to retrieve my flashlight. Older scouts had the opportunity to rappel down into yet another part of the cave. After an hour-long training session, the group suited up with ropes, harnesses, and helmets. I'm good with medium lights, but when it gets really tall, I start to get freaked out, says Ian Wiesner, a 15-year-old from Troop 264. I was starting to get freaked out a little bit there. Everyone got to rappel twice. For most of them, the second time was much easier. After you start rappelling down, Ian says, you're like, what was I afraid of? Here's some of the captions from the article. With his shadow right behind him on page 17, Vishal Chintapalali rappels down the cave entrance. Know before you go. Caving, also called spelunking, is a specialized activity requiring advanced planning and technical skills. A wild cave is anything that is not commercially operated with a professional tour guide. Scouts, BSA age youth can enter easy wild caves, which means easily accessible, non-technical, non-vertical caves. The Laurel Caverns upper cave fits this description. Older scouts, BSA members, Sea Scouts, and venturers should be ready to explore more technical wild caves, such as the Laurel Caverns lower cave. Cub Scouts and Weeblow Scouts are encouraged to visit commercially operated caves and lava tubes. Scouting units participating in caving must follow the guidelines set forth in Cave Safety, Cave Softly. Next we have, at the bottom of page 17 to our left, Bat Cave. Laurel Caverns is closed to the public from late October until the middle of April for bat hibernation season. Why? Disturbing bats during their hibernation can be damaging to the animals. You wouldn't want a random explorer stomping through your bedroom while you were sleeping, right? A bat that wakes up during hibernation season might go out hunting for food. With no food available in winter, the bat would most likely die. A disease called white nose syndrome, a white fungus that grows on a bat's nose, has already killed many of the insect-eating animals, so now people are trying to be extra careful. Bats are extremely beneficial. A single bat can eat thousands of mosquitoes in one night. With the installed lights turned off, the group gets an idea of how dark a wild cave really is. Page 22 to 23, Boys Life Gear Guy, hanging out in camp. The Gear Guy shares the essentials of hammock camping. Hammock camping looks so fun, right? It can be a comfortable alternative to tent camping for backpacking in drive-in campgrounds. If you're going to try it, do it right with these expert tips and picks for the best gear. For starters, understand the pros and cons of hammock camping. Pros. If you like being suspended in the air, hammock camping offers super comfort. Whether rocky, uneven, muddy, or wet, the ground doesn't matter. Done right, sleeping in a hammock can be warm, dry, and quiet. You get a great view of the stars on a clear night. Cons. Stringing up a hammock requires a pair of sturdy trees an appropriate distance apart whose trunks are not blocked by thick boughs. This is not easy or possible in all environments. A hammock slopes toward the middle in a banana shape, which some people find uncomfortable, especially those who shift a lot in their sleep. Your bed sways with every slight movement, which isn't appealing to everyone. In sustained rain, a hammock doesn't offer shelter for two or more people to stay dry together in camp, and it offers little space for one person to move around if sheltering for hours from rain. Try sleeping in a hammock in your yard before buying all the gear and making plans to hammock camp on a backpacking trip. Tips for sleeping in a hammock. Hang the hammock at sitting height no more than 3 feet above the ground and sagging at a 30-degree angle. Don't make it extremely taut, which can create a confining cocoon effect and cause you to flip and fall out of the hammock. Lie in it at a diagonal angle to reduce how much the hammock sags and envelops you. This isn't always possible in the highest, narrowest hammock, so know what you're getting before buying. You need insulation from cold air and wind below the hammock, but many air mattresses will increase uncomfortability in a hammock. Find one that fits well, or forego an air mat for an underquilt. In wet weather, string the hammock as close to the ground as possible without touching it, and pitch your tarp's apex close overhead. Tie strings known as drip lines to the strap attaching each end of a hammock to trees, with the two ends of each string hanging down. This way, any rain or water running down the straps drips from those cords rather than running into and soaking your hammock. Avoid setting up a hammock on dead trees or below dead branches that could fall on you, and always follow safety rules when hammock camping. Hammock safety rules. Follow the manufacturer's instructions for hanging distances. Hang hammocks in secure locations such as to trees or solid posts. Never attach a hammock to something that could move. Fasten and check all knots before getting into a hammock. Never stack hammocks one above another. Hammocks should not be hung so the lowest point is more than 3 feet above the ground. The higher you are, the greater the chance to hurt yourself if you fall. Do not hang a hammock above water. Never swing or stand in a hammock. Do not use a hammock that has frayed or damaged ropes. Use only the manufacturer's replacement ropes. Do not put more weight in the hammock than is recommended by the manufacturer. And finally, if you are using living trees, take care not to damage the otter bark. Now we're going to talk about the actual hammocks. In anything but ideal weather conditions, you will need more than just a hammock. Here are the essential gear and some top picks. The BSA single-person hammock with straps offers a basic setup that's large enough for most people and versatile enough for backpacking. If you're experimenting with hammock camping, this is a sure pick at a bargain. A simple, lightweight nylon hammock like the End Double Nest hammock, which is made for two people, provides more comfortable width for one person than any hammocks. It's lightweight and very packable for backpacking, but also made with durable 70 denier nylon, 1 pound, 3 ounces. The Hennessy Hammock Scout Classic, designed for anyone up to 5 feet 8 inches tall and 200 pounds, comes with an asymmetrical rain fly, making it an exceptional value in a first camping hammock. It has a structural ridge line, which helps it maintain its shape and make it easier to set up correctly. Hennessy stitches its hammocks asymmetrically to create a level bed for more comfortable sleeping. 2 pounds, 6 ounces. The Sea to Summit Single Pro Hammock Bundle includes a durable 70 denier water-resistant spacious lightweight hammock with plate steel buckles plus 10-foot-long straps. The hammock pairs with the Sea to Summit Hammock Bug Net, which has a collapsible spreader pole that creates a spacious interior, plus a wide zippered doorway. And the setup can include Sea to Summit's Ultra Cell Nano Tarp Poncho, which can be used as a shelter for the hammock or a rain poncho that fits over a large backpack. The necessary gear. Thin nylon hammock provides virtually no protection from the wind and cold. Since most exposure comes from below, you will need insulation under your hammock for warmth and temperatures below 70 degrees. That is generally in the form of a sleeping bag or underquilt, the latter designed to hang below a hammock. A relatively roomy sleeping bag that ventilates at the foot and foot end and lets you rig the hammock inside the bag, eliminating the need for an underquilt, thus reducing your system's weight and cost. There are underquilts that perform well, like the Anvulcan, made with warm, packable synthetic PrimaSoft insulation and rated at 30 to 40 degrees, or the Re-Co-op Hammock Underquilt. The Outdoor Vitals are 20 zips over the top of a hammock to fully enclose your nest in a pod system, enhancing warmth and potentially eliminating the need for a bag. Lastly, a tarp is needed overhead to protect you from rain and, when angled properly, from wind. It also traps some heat from your body underneath it, similar to a tent, effectively providing some insulation. The Sea to Summit Hammock Tarp, made with an ultralight 15 denier siliconized PU coat nylon, uses a 5-point design and measures almost 12 feet by more than 9 feet. Easily angled for weather protection. Hennessy Hammock offers a variety of tarp models, which also can be used alone for tarp camping. If your hammock does not come with them, get non-stretching hammock straps, which wrap securely around a tree, and hammock straps, which wrap securely and are adjustable for controlling the height of the hammock off the ground. They also prevent damage to a tree's bark that can be caused by cord or rope. If you're heading out in bug season, you'd better have protective bug netting over your hammock. Some netting is designed for specific hammock models. Some camping hammocks come with integrated bug netting. By the type, if you're consistently camping in buggy places, but if only occasionally, get a separate bug netting to avoid carrying unnecessary gear. If backpacking, note the weight and bulk of your entire hammock system components, which can run anywhere from about 3 to 5 pounds or more, a big difference. Finally, set up your hammock system at home before taking it out in the backcountry. Setup can be very time-consuming the first few times. The Time of Your Life, pages 26 through 28. Get ready for summer camp. Make plans to visit one of these 8 exciting scout camps. H. Robartle Scout Reservation in the Heart of America Council, Osceola, Missouri. Go underground. Strap on a helmet to climb a tower or go spelunking. If you choose the latter, you'll descend into darkness as you're lowered into the up-and-down cave, and one of several caves to explore on the land. Your choice. Take your pick from 3 camps at the 4,200-acre property, Lone Star, Sawmill, or Pershing Era. Bartle Scout Reservation is the only 10-day summer camp in the country. Although not part of the camp, many scouts like to hike a mile down the road to Scott's Iconium General Store to grab a hamburger and a peach knee-high float. Carry a tune. When you enter the dining hall, be ready for more than just a meal. The staff has fun, energetic program full of skits and songs. Winnipeg Mountain Camp, Conquistador Council, Sacramento, New Mexico. Zip around. Feel a rush of adrenaline as you navigate the rope's course, 30 feet in the air, and scale the climbing tower. Zigzag along for zip lines across the narrow canyon where the camp sits within the Lincoln National Forest, old and new. learn how life was for the fur traders and Native Americans more than a century ago at the Mountain Man Camp, where you can throw tomahawks, make knives, and build fires with flint and steel. At the Technology Center, staff can teach you to fly a drone. Nice heights. At an elevation of 8,500 feet, you'll feel like you're in the mountains. The evening temperatures can dip into the 40s under a night sky adorned with millions of stars. Daytime temps often stay in the 80s, perfect for a horseback ride or ATV drive. Many Points Scout Camp, Northern Star Council, Ponsford, Minnesota. Camp wherever. Sure, you can sleep in a tent, but have you ever spent a night in a treehouse? Older scouts can at Many Point. Two treehouses are built on a 30-foot bluff overlooking the lake. Or you can paddle out to a raft in the middle of the lake and sleep there after enjoying a day of swimming, fishing, and cooking from the raft. Game on. Grab a greased watermelon, or try to, at least, during one of the camp's popular aquatic games. You can also play gaga ball, basketball, lacrosse, and water polo, or bounce on the aqua trampoline. Older scouts can go water skiing or take out the jet skis. Later, relax in a sauna or take the sights atop a 100-foot fire tower. We're all family. Eat at the dining hall with meals served family style, or choose to cook and eat with your troop at your campsite. Patrol boxes and ingredients can be provided, making mealtime easy and fun. Camp Papukia from Aloha Council in Hialeah, Oahu, Hawaii. Take your pick. Even though it's nestled in a tropical rainforest, this camp isn't a luxurious island getaway. You still get that rugged feeling at Papukia. Since about half of the campsites are classified as primitive, the staff embodies the real Aloha spirit, making you feel welcome for the week. Go to the beach. A short hike leads you to the Pacific Ocean, where you can go snorkeling, kayaking, or paddleboarding. Scouts can work on about 24 merit badges, including oceanography. Experience Hawaii. If you're from mainland, sign for the Hawaiian Camping Adventure Program, you'll get to spend a night aboard the USS Missouri battleship. Go sightseeing at the scenic Waianae Valley Park and catch a show and buffet at the Polynesian Cultural Center. Camp Loud Thunder, Iowa Council, Illinois City, Illinois. Try something new. Camp is never boring, especially when there's an activity you've never done before. Loud Thunder has many novel camp programs, such as fingerprinting, black powder, rifle shooting, and a giant chess tournament. Grab some grub. In an authentic cowboy meal prepared out of a chuck wagon, you can pile enchiladas, beans, and rice, or venison high onto your pewter plate and guzzle down a cold sarsaparilla soda. See the stars. A local college professor stops by the camp to host an educational journey evening of stargazing on the non-site observatory. You can also look up at the stars from the middle of the Mississippi River as part of the Huck Finn experience, where you can canoe the mighty river and camp out on an island. Although the blacksmithing merit badge was discontinued in 1952, it's not a lost art at Camp Loud Thunder. Camp M.K. Brown, Golden Spread Council, Mobetti, Texas. Good eating. A pot roast dinner with gravy awaits you after checking into camp. Later in the week, Order of the Arrow members host an ice cream social, and your scoutmasters can compete in a cobbler cook-off. Sounds like a delicious week for everyone. At the lake, you can navigate the Spring Federal 65-acre lake in a sailboat, kayak, rowboat, or floating discs that spin. You can also fish for bass, bluegill, and catfish. Let's play. You can play flag football, soccer, and horsebacks, horseshoes, but the big event is the camp-wide relay race in which you can compete with your troop or join another troop. June Norcross Webster, Scout Reservation, Connecticut Rivers Council, Ashford, Connecticut. Big, big, big. Everything at this 1,200-acre camp is big. Big Dining Hall, Big Aquatics, Lake Big Merit Badge Program, with about 75 merit badges offered. You can choose some you might not find at other summer camps, like engineering, golf, railroading, and whitewash. Rugged life. Step back in time and live the life of a mountain man or woman. Grab a friend and try using a crosscut saw, throwing a tomahawk, and saying hello to a team of oxen. Afterward, grab a plate of delicious barbecue, ribs cooked over a canoe. And Camp Honan-Wan, Coastal Carolina Council, Wadmalo Island, South Carolina. Water, water everywhere. Surrounded by the Bohicket River, a saltwater creek in the lake, the camp offers practically any aquatic fun you can imagine. Paddleboarding, canoeing, boating, sailing, swimming, in the pool and water skiing. The camp also has a fishing pier where scouts have caught redfish, sheephead, trout, stingrays, and parks. Go off-site. Not all programs are held at camp. Work on your aviation merit badge at a nearby airport. Get your second-class 5-mile hike requirement signed off with a trek to the only tea plantation in North America. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138.
The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. If you have questions or comments, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. You can also visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.